Hey, I'm Paul.
And I'm Christian.
Welcome to I'm Dying to Tell You, inspiration shared by our mom who is dying from ALS.
There is no cure for our mom or anyone else with ALS, but right now, she's on a mission to find and share stories of inspiration.
Coming to you from Cincinnati, Ohio, we're happy to introduce the one lady we both love since the first day we laid eyes on her, the queen of the Queen City, our mom, your host, Lori.
Hello, I'm Lori, your host of I'm Dying to Tell You. Thank you for being here. Well, I got a little something different going on today. I have a co-host joining me, my husband, Paul. He was so excited about my guest today, he kept asking me a lot of questions. So I finally said, hey, you want to jump in on the call? And be a part of that. So he agreed. So I'm so happy to have him on. I really have mixed emotions about this episode. On one hand, I'm super excited to talk to a legend in the radio industry. You might know him and you might have heard him from WLW Radio because I know the reach is far. And he's 80 years old now. Paul and I both have grown up hearing his voice and seeing him make an incredibly positive impact, not only on our own community, but far beyond that as well. So I am really happy about the chance to talk to him one-on-one. However, we got connected on a very sad note, in that he has been diagnosed with ALS as well. I'm talking about radio personality Jim Scott. Jim had been in radio for over 55 years. I think it's 47 years that Jim was on the air in Cincinnati, beginning with a radio station called WSAI. Then he spent 30 years at 700 WLW. So he's been here in my hometown for a long time in the public eye. He has a nickname, Good Old Jim Scott, because he really is such a good person. He's such a giving person. And he has his hands in so many different nonprofits that are local and national. He is obviously quite talented in the radio broadcasting industry, which is great. But I just love how he is such a force of positivity and even today, living with ALS, he just has a gift to inspire others to be the best human that you can be. He is absolutely amazing, and I'm so excited to share him with you. Okay, my hot hubby and I are going to jump on Zoom with good old Jim Scott. Let's go to our chat. Hello!
Hi, Paul.
Hi, great to see you.
We got a co-host today. This is something new.
How long have you been doing this podcast, Lori?
This is my fourth season, my fourth year. So,
wow.
Yeah. I'm not a professional like you.
Now, how long ago were you diagnosed?
It's been 19 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 19 years. So
you're doing something.
I don't know. I really don't think it's me as much as it's just the cards I was dealt. You know, like they say there's so many different strands of ALS. So I just think I have one of those unique strands that is allowing me to progress slow. Yeah, I feel incredibly lucky. So, all right, let's just kind of dive in. First of all, to my listeners, anyone that is from Cincinnati knows Jim Scott. So recently I've been telling people that I have the opportunity to sit down and talk to Jim Scott. And every time I say that, people are like, I love him. I love him, including my husband. And so, Jim, thank you for being here, and Paul as well. I am excited to talk to you, but I am sorry that you are a part of our club. You know, people living with ALS. Yeah, it really sucks.
Did we get anything cool to wear, like a cool hat? Or is there a secret handshake?
Oh, yeah, there is a secret handshake and maybe a secret alcohol drink. And if not, we're going to invent it, that's for sure. Oh, my gosh. I want to talk about your amazing radio career first. So I first knew you from WSAI Radio and from the March of Dimes. We used to always do that, and you were always leading that effort here. And then, Paul, I know you're like a 700 WLW junkie.
Yeah, I listened to him every day for probably the last 40 years. I woke up to Jim Scott for 20-plus years, and that smooth, calming voice to start every day was just amazing. So in 4 or 5 years ago, we're at a James Taylor concert, and I jumped up to go get a drink, and I run into Jim Scott. I don't get celebrity starstruck, but I had to stop and say, gosh, it's just so great to meet you. This is since you retired. And I said, I don't know if that guy on the stage is the Jim Scott of music or if you're the James Taylor of radio, but you and James Taylor are my two favorite voices in the world.
Nice compliment. He's great. I really do enjoy his music. So I felt very fortunate to get to that concert. He's got so many good songs.
Oh, absolutely.
What's that one? Shower the People You Love.
Yeah, there you go.
I was fortunate to have such a long career in radio. I mean, I started when I was a senior in high school, and I was 17. And then that was 1960. And then I didn't retire until opening day 2015. So that's a long run. And I was so fortunate. I was never out of a job. So
you had this over 55 years of radio broadcasting, and you actually started it in high school.
I was a senior in high school. And I got a part-time weekend job. And it was interesting in that it was at an NBC-affiliated radio station in Binghamton, New York. My job was on the weekends. I would come in on Saturday at 11 o'clock and work till midnight. And basically, I would, with the exception of 1 hour at the end, like from 11 to midnight, I had my own little disjockey show. But other than that, I was running a control board, and just whenever the NBC monitor network feed would quit for a commercial on the top of the hour, then I would fill that. The thrill I had was as I moved through radio, I ended up going to New York. I did the afternoon show on WNBC, 66 New York. But I also, on the weekends, was hired as one of those people to be the host on the Monitor Network. So it was sort of like full circle.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to, maybe my first day on Monitor, I could say hello to whoever was running the control board in Binghamton, New York, at WYNR, and I let them know I left a peanut butter and jelly sandwich behind tape recorder or something silly like that.
Oh, that's cool. Oh.
Being on the radio in New York is no different than being on the radio in Paducah, Kentucky. I mean, it's one-on-one.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily talking to 10 million people. You're just talking to one person. I think that's the secret of good radio communication. Visualize that person and just talk to them.
Yeah, I never thought of that before. That's interesting. So out of those 55 plus years, you were in Cincinnati for on the air for like 47, something like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good addition.
Yeah. You had this relationship with a lot of people in the city for sure. And like Paul was mentioning, you know, waking up early in the morning and hearing you. And I know from seeing you around that you're a funny guy. Is there a funny story that you have that, you know, being in the same city for all those years and having these relationships, any funny story at the station or in the community that really sticks with you all these years?
Well, I wish I hadn't made fun of Norwood.
Made fun of Norwood. And to my listeners, Norwood is a suburb of Cincinnati, Ohio.
I didn't feel like I was, quote, making fun, but I noticed that Norwood is an island surrounded by other communities. And so there's something about the people in Norwood, I think, that sort of felt like it's we and they. I don't know.
Aww.
I never meant anything harmful about it, but some people got upset by me. But it struck me really funny later on in life. I was married 25 years, and then I was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I started dating. I dated one woman for a couple of years, and it struck me so funny that she was from Norwood. I thought, what's going on?
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming. You're going to find someone from Norwood.
She's not the woman I met. We dated, and it was fun. She was just delightful. But then I met Donna Hartman. She was from Reading, Ohio. What's funny is how I met her. So I was on the board of Playhouse in the Park. I always got involved in a lot of nonprofit organizations, you know, United Way. And so when Halloween came up, the Playhouse board decided to have a fundraiser, and they had a Halloween costume contest. They asked me to MC. So I did. And some really interesting costumes. But the most unusual was the one that my wife, when I first met her, Donna, you remember the name? He worked for the Enquirer. Jim Nippenberg?
Yeah.
Well, Donna worked at the Enquirer. She was friends with Jim.
Okay.
Jim and his job got invited to everything. Once in a while, she would be his date. I mean, they never dated, but she made him a costume. A pretty good seamstress. She made him a nun's outfit. He looked exactly like a nun. And for herself, what would be completely absurd for a nun who is a man to to be having a partner, a date, and she came as Lady Godiva.
Oh!
Needless to say, I noticed her. And then on the radio, Monday when I went back on the air, I started talking about Donna Hartman dressed up as Lady Godiva. And she didn't happen to listen to me. She's listening to WEBN or something. My girlfriends call up and say, Jim Scott's talking about you. Anyway, that's how I met her.
Oh, that's hilarious. That she really got your attention and she didn't even mean to. Oh, my gosh.
She's got a great sense of humor.
That's awesome.
And on a serious note, we've been married more than 25 years now. And all of a sudden, she finds herself being the partner of a person that's dealing with ALS.
Yeah.
She's a great caregiver to me.
Yeah.
There's some things I just can't do, and she can help me. And it'll get worse, so.
I've noticed that. You know, I was talking about how when I mentioned Jim Scott to people, they just light up. Like, they just have such this great sense of community and happiness related to your name. But when I've noticed the interviews that you've been doing lately, when someone mentions your wife, you line up exactly like that. And that just touches me so much. Like, I can just tell that you love and adore her and appreciate how she is taking care of you. And, you know, Paul and I know that ALS isn't just about the person that has the disease. It's not. I mean, poor Paul. You know, and I'm not even to the stage, obviously, that a lot of people are, but it's all a family disease. And I'm so happy that you have Donna. And I know you have three sons to help you as well. So
we're both very lucky in that.
Mm-hmm. You're known for, you know, being a radio personality, but you are also known for being a good guy, good old Jim Scott, and someone that has always done good. I remember reading that you said when you moved here that you just noticed that people like to help other people.
Yeah, I think they do. You know, when I first came to town, Lori, nobody knew anything about me. And there was a guy named Stan Matlock who did the morning show on 55 KRC. He had 50% of the audience. He was so strong, so dominant. And so I thought, well, I need to meet people. So when I got off the air, I literally went door to door. I would drive my car to different neighborhoods. And I'd walk around. And back then, in late 60s, early 70s, you could find people at home more than they would today. In most cases, both husband and wife are working these days. Back then, I could find people. And then I would just ask them, I'm new in town. My name is Jim Scott. I'll be on the radio tomorrow morning. Would you listen? And then I would get names of people. And then the next morning, I'd say, well, I met Lori, and she lives on Spring Grove Avenue, and it worked. And I did that for years. And then I got involved in, well, the March of Dimes. When I was a little boy, I had polio. I was 12 years old. The March of Dimes really helped my family. So I came to Cincinnati in 1968. One of the first requests I had from a nonprofit was, would you be involved in the March of Dimes walk?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure. And I really promoted it.
Yeah.
And that really depended on young people getting involved, teenagers especially. And so I did it for 25 years. And in the beginning, you know, nowadays, if there's a walk, it's a 5K, which is 3.1 miles. We walked for 25 miles. I don't know whose idea that was.
25 miles?
No, I know.
Wow.
So that was when my, and I got involved with the United Way. I still am today. I've been involved with them for like 50 years. So yeah. I'm more than willing personally help out organizations that need support, and I'll donate my own money, and I'll go to their car washes or their banquets, and that's what I felt like I should do.
Yeah.
I'm part of the community, and I've got that platform. I can talk about it on the radio so I can get people interested.
Yeah. So what do you have to say to people that don't have a platform and they're wondering, should I get involved? Should I give back? Like, even if you don't have a platform, what does it do for you to give back and to invest in other people?
Well, I don't have much of a platform. I'm not on the radio anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have learned to use Facebook, mm-hmm. which you can do good with that. But mainly, I'll tell you what I do. I used to ask people to be my audience and listen. Now I look around for people that need an audience and someone to listen to them. All you gotta do, Lori, is look around. It's an older person sitting by themselves in McDonald's. I mean, they're everywhere. And I go to nursing homes and walk around and meet people, and that's what I do. And I interview them. I talk to them. I say, well, tell me about you.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, no one ever said to them, tell me about you.
Oh.
You know that John Prine? I love music. John Prine?
Mm-hmm.
You know his music?
Mm-hmm.
There's a song called Hello In There. Hello In There.
Hello In There.
You watch that one.
Yeah. I love that so, so much, Jim. And I'm gonna write that down, put it on my board. Yeah. People want to know that they matter and that they're seen.
Right.
And by you saying, tell me about yourself, or asking questions that you do so good at, that makes them feel that you care. And then, you know, you're a really good listener. So then it really shows them that their story and that they are worth something.
Mm-hmm.
And that everybody is. It really does break my heart when I see people that don't have a community. And I'm so blessed with an amazing community. And so are you.
Yep.
But to recognize that people aren't so lucky. Not everyone is so lucky. And so I love that. That is your motivation to be like such a nice guy is amazing. It's really cool.
You know, if you're dealing with a disease like ALS, which is the fatal disease.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all gonna die at some point, but if you were diagnosed with ALS, you're probably going to go quicker than the average person. So I figure I can just reach out to people, and I try to stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If you think too much about what's my life going to be like, all of a sudden your head's going to hit the desk and you're going to be depressed. So you stay in the moment, then you look around, and there's plenty of people that just like someone to acknowledge their existence.
Mm.
And if you happen to be someone like me, who's so well known, and some people think they get an extra boost out of it because they said, well, he's somebody, and he said hello to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like today, I went to, Oh, I saw Ken Anderson today.
Oh!
To my listeners, Ken Anderson is a former Cincinnati Bengals quarterback. Another legend.
Yeah, God bless him. Aww. He was talking about last night's Bengals game. And but I saw him at a place that he has put his money into, what they call the Ken Anderson Alliance. And it's a place, and I have a friend, his name is Andy. He's about 35 or 36. And Andy is a smart guy, but he's sort of guileless too. And he's got problems with an arm, just like I do. And he loves music. So he goes there, and he's surrounded by other people like him. They put on music concerts. So this morning I went, just sat in the audience about an hour. It's called Melodic Connections. And I was just delighted when I walked in, because I know Ken Anderson, he knows me. I was able to say, thank you so much for what you've done. Mm-hmm. And then just go in and participate. You know?
Nice.
Yeah, Ken Anderson, he is another great Cincinnatian. And actually what you're talking about, Jim, I saw on TV yesterday. They must have featured it before the Bengals game or something, with Ken Anderson and all the people he's helping through the melodic system he's doing there.
Oh, I didn't see it. Yeah,
so that's hitting a chord because I just saw it yesterday. But speaking of personalities, you know, with your great mature demeanor about yourself, how did you get along and blend in with all some of the personalities and characters at the radio station over the years? Because I know there's several that are quite outlandish.
Well, a lot of them, there are people that are, quote, shock jocks. But that's not really the way they are. And since you mentioned other personalities, Gary Burbank. What a great talent.
Yes.
And Gary has, he's not dealing with some issues, and he'll joke about it. But he's going to come to my house this week, and he's never been here before.
Oh.
And his daughter's going to bring him over, and we're just going to enjoy each other. And
okay. I think he's still doing his Earl Pitts bit, isn't he? Or are those all replays?
Those are recorded a long time.
Oh, okay.
But I called him the other day and to do FaceTime. And he answers the phone and he does his, I mean.
Makes a crazy face.
Making goofy.
Aw.
When I first went to WLW, I'll never forget Gary Burbank did the morning show. I was hired to replace him in the morning, and he had to move to the afternoon.
Right.
So I sat down and talked with him. I knew he might be a little sensitive about that, but he was very gracious. He said, I'd rather get more sleep. And so he did the afternoon show, and I did the morning. And I think that was a really good combination. WLW's ratings really went right through the roof, and we had a really good time.
Aww.
Yeah, those are the best years that I remember. Now, was Gary, he was part of Sports or Consequences, right?
Yeah, that was an afternoon bit. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that was a great bit.
Oh, he had a great imagination.
Yeah,
to make all his voices.
Yeah.
I never tried to do voices. I just had my own. Although now, what's going on with ALS? I should try to do voices.
Now you've got a different voice. Yeah. Aw.
Here's something about ALS. You asked me ahead of time if I could think of something that I figured people wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what percentage, but a certain percentage of people with ALS, for some reason or other, have spontaneous fits of crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not me. Another group has spontaneous fits of laughing.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Oh, okay. Is that natural or is that ALS?
Well, I think I was prone to that anyway.
Yeah.
But with, I could get upset, and sometimes I do, hearing my voice and thinking what happened. But when I do think of something that amuses me, then my voice, I sound like Goofy. I sound like a cartoon character, and that makes me laugh.
So,
you have to go along for the ride.
You have to go along for the ride. You have to have a sense of humor for sure. For sure. So you've been retired for about 8 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You're living on a 132-acre farm in Indiana. What have you been doing in your all your available time?
Sleeping in a little bit. I used to get up at 2:30.
Oh my.
I went on the air at 5.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, well, catching up on your sleep.
Spending more time with Donna. We've had some great adventures. I had no idea I was going to come down with ALS, but a year ago, I was hiking Mount Rainier and Crater Lake. I've always been in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
So now it's tougher to walk. I've got a brace on my foot and balance is off a little bit. So I'm glad I did those things. I'm involved. I continue to be involved with the local United Way.
Yeah.
And I'm really involved with Salvation Army.
Yeah, with the Red Kettle campaign, right? Yeah.
I love the Salvation Army. They do so much good.
Yeah. I saw something that you celebrated your 80th birthday, and you were at Kroger with Salvation Army.
Oh, yeah.
Raising money for them with the Red Kettle. Doing what you love on your birthday. So I thought that was really neat.
That was nice. I've had good success in being a spokesperson for Kroger for about 40 years. Grippo potato chips for like over 50 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was easy. And Kroger put together a huge team at the ALS walk. That ALS walk was very successful.
Yeah, I saw that at our ALS walk, that a lot of people came out. I only got a chance to grab a quick photo of you, and you were talking to someone, and that was it. But yeah, there were a lot of people that turned out, and I knew that would happen when you took to all the media, and we're talking about the walk to defeat ALS, and we all just really appreciate you doing that. So
come on, jump in there, Paul.
Yeah. You got to jump right in, Paul. I'll just keep going.
She's the interview expert. I just wanted to really see you and hear your voice again. And, I could throw up some anecdotes, but, I've been down to the station a few times. Well, Lori's been on the station several times, too, with Bill Cunningham.
Yeah. He's a talent. Mm-hmm. WW's lineup is very strong. Mike McConnell does a great job in the morning. Yeah. Scott Sloan and Willie and the whole crew.
Yeah, I was curious. Well, there's a few things. I've told Lori this for 20 years. All the people that I meet through the ALS community are positive. And I'm like, are they positive or is it just the people that are positive are coming out? And then, again, like Lori, I hate to hear that you're part of this club. Mm-hmm. I heard you on the radio a couple months ago. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like Jim Scott. And I said something to Lori and she wouldn't tell me until after you were announcing that you're going public with your ALS. And then she told me, she goes, yeah, Jim's been at the support meetings, but we're not allowed to tell anybody. So what made you decide to come out and be public about this?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, Paul. Initially, my wife Donna was quite concerned that we tell very many people. She said that she felt like it would become my identity. I disagreed with her, but on the other hand, she felt strongly about it. So we told some good friends, But then when my voice started changing, and then I started walking with a cane, I said, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out there's something going on with Jim. And so I thought, I really need to share that. And then I also thought some good would come out of it, you know, and it has. And I timed it with the walk. I had been diagnosed when there was a Lou Gehrig night back in June.
Yeah, June 2nd.
Yeah, and I debated whether or not I would go to that.
I heard you say that you didn't want to take away from the person living with ALS that was getting honored at that game.
And I knew if I went and sat with the people with ALS, there'd be somebody from TV or radio, and they'd come up and say, why are you here? Mm-hmm. Then, so I deferred on that. But I thought, if you go back and look at what I said on Facebook.
And to my listeners, I am going to put a link in the show notes directly to Jim's Facebook page that he's talking about.
It paralleled polio and the March of Dimes and the ALS walk. And I wanted to support that. And I also wanted to help raise some money. So I think it just seemed the right time.
Well, I think you just know when it is the right time. And it is hard to be in the public eye and make that decision. You know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Zach Brown Band. One of the founders, John Driscoll Hopkins, has ALS. And I had asked him in an interview, what made you decide to go public? Like, you didn't have to do that. He has three daughters. And he said, if I didn't, my daughters would say, Dad, why didn't you do anything? You know, he just said, I have a platform. And millions of people listen to the music.
Right.
And they just might listen to me talk about ALS.
Right. So. You know, one of the biggest losses I felt was, even though I had polio when I was a kid and it affected my left hand and arm, I still could play golf with two hands. And it was my favorite sport. And back in October, overnight, all of a sudden, this hand and this arm, they just hang down. Mm-hmm. So I was involved in this golf league every Wednesday morning with a bunch of guys from Elder High School. Mm-hmm. We play nine holes. And so I just play with one arm. Mm-hmm. This arm's still strong. And so I play one arm golf. I enjoy it. It's joyful.
Yeah.
And I can play pretty well. And here's something that almost made me cry when I found out. Coming up, in fact, tomorrow, Wednesday, mm-hmm. I'll be with these guys, and all of them are going to attempt to play with one arm.
That's great.
Isn't that sweet?
Oh, that's really good. Those are some good friends.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I do. So
Yeah.
So stay in the now and do what you can do.
Yeah.
Can I leave you with a little bit of philosophy?
Yeah, that'd be great. Actually, let me ask you, Jim, what are you dying to tell us?
I might as well tell you I'm still alive. Instead of getting down, an uncle of mine who lives in St. Louis said, and he recently lost the ability to walk. Mm-hmm. And I said, how do you deal with something like that? Big change. He said, well, I'm thankful for all I accomplished in my life that I never thought I could have done. And secondly, I'm thankful for what I still can do.
Yeah.
It almost makes me cry when I think about it. Jordan, cheers.
Oh, I love that. Well, I cannot thank you enough for sharing your story, for just being an amazing human and always reminding us, you know, what is important in life. And I hope that everyone that listens to this, no matter what country you're in, no matter if you have ALS or not, if today, after listening to this, you go up to someone that you don't know and strike up a conversation and show interest in them and ask them about them and their story, I think you would find that it would just warm your heart and lift you up in so many ways. So,
it'll spark joy, right?
Yeah. Go spark joy. Yeah, absolutely.
Lori, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. And Paul?
Yeah.
Make sure when you go to bed tonight, you say thank you for having this great partner.
I will.
Oh.
And thank you, Jim. That was great. I learned quite a bit. And I've already downloaded the song.
Oh, nice. So,
Hello In There by John Prine will be the next song I listen to as soon as we hang up from this podcast.
Oh, good. That's great.
And I love the idea of being a great listener and just saying hello to people to, as you say, spark the joy. And
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Jim, thanks for all the great years, all the great memories, and thanks in advance for all that you're going to do. Like you said, take your abilities that you have today and use them to make it a better day tomorrow and spread the joy and spark the joy. And, you know, there's people inside of everybody. So say hello in there.
I love that.
Thank you. Good.
Aw, Jim, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate you. Okay, keep in touch. Bye. Thank you again to my hot hubby, Paul, for coming on as my co-host. And Jim Scott, thank you so much for being a special guest today. It really warms my heart when I get to share a little piece of home and Cincinnati, the Queen City, with the audience. I really, really appreciate this conversation. And Jim, know that for everything that you've done for our community and for other people and continue to do, and that we are here for you and that we'll continue to pray that your ALS progresses very slowly, if at all. To my listeners, thank you so much for being here. You all make doing this podcast so special. Thank you for tuning in and telling someone about this podcast. If you think that they can benefit from the inspiration that it might bring. If you are tuning in for the first time, I release new episodes on the 2nd and the 4th Tuesday of each month. If you want to follow me on social media, I am pretty much everywhere at I'm Dying to Tell You Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, and TikTok as well. All that I'm Dying to Tell You Podcast. Okay, I hope you enjoyed meeting good old Jim Scott, and I hope that you are motivated to go spark joy and also send positive vibes back to Jim Scott as he battles his ALS journey. Okay, until next time, know you are loved and not alone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to our mom. Make sure to visit her website at imdyingtotellyoupodcast.com, where you'll find photos and show notes about this episode. If you liked the show, please subscribe to the podcast and share it with a friend. Thank you.